today on Compassion Radio.
I closed my eyes like I would anytime you pray, and all of a sudden, all I could see is this black and white scene. It's a wide street in some city in Africa, I don't know where, and it goes on as far as the eye can see with huge piles of trash all the way down the sides of the street. And I'm like walking in this scene to the trash and find that it's all moving and there's children sleeping under it as far as I can see.
Oh, wow.
If you can think of how you feel in times of grief, then that's sort of how I felt and found myself weeping from it.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way, whether it's in a mud hut in remote Africa, a church in war-torn Ukraine, a village in Nepal devastated by an earthquake, or one of the countless Christ-centered ministries in the United States. Bram is there, tirelessly bringing you the life-changing stories of God's love, goodness, and faithfulness. Kulea Child Care Villages is a faith-based charity dedicated to rescuing and raising orphans and vulnerable children in East Africa. All this week, Bram's wife Sandy connects with Deborah Brown, the head of this wonderful ministry, to talk about the amazing work God is doing in the lives of so many precious children in Kenya and Tanzania. Here's Sandy with part one of that conversation.
I'm here today with a new friend for Compassion Radio, but not a new friend to me. I've known Deborah for a little over a year now, I guess. We attend church together. This is Deborah Brown with Kulea Villages. I want to welcome you to Compassion Radio.
Thank you. Thanks, Sandy.
Well, Deborah, I want our listeners to hear your story, first of all, because you have, without the whole Kulea Villages, you have a very amazing God story about His work in your life and breaking your heart in a way that birthed Kulea Villages and Kulea Ministry. And I want to start at the beginning because, you know, we have listeners all over the country that don't know it yet, but they're just like you. They have a story, and they will be able to see how God can use their story to bring them to a place of very satisfying, very passionate ministry, whether it's here at home in the United States or somewhere overseas. You thought yourself an ordinary woman.
And I am and still. It's amazing. I mean, what God does with what we think, you know, the people that we think, which often is ourselves, are not capable or not able. My story is that in 1995, 96, I had the opportunity to move to Tanzania and teach at a Baptist seminary for a year with my husband. And we taught there, and I fell in love with the country. But more than that, I fell in love with the ministry of these pastors. So when we came home, I never planned to go back to Africa. But I stayed in touch with, I don't know, four or five pastors. They were faithful in writing and telling me ministry updates, what's happening in their churches. And we helped them little bits as we could. Someone would say, I had like 500 people to hear my sermon, but only the first 75 could hear me because I have no sound equipment. So we sent a karaoke machine. May sound little.
Perfect.
And they bought a bunch of batteries and they went out in the bush and preached the word to 500 people. Little things like that through the years. And about 12 years later, the church that I was attending in Massachusetts announced, we're going to take a team and go to Uganda, and we're going to help build a house for orphans. And we had just had a choir come from Uganda from that same ministry called the Watoto Choir. Mm-hmm. We'd all heard them sing, and they'd stayed in our homes, and it was so moving to be with this little kid who's been rescued, and they were super polite and just the cutest things. We all wanted to adopt them, you know? So I was like, we've got to go. We've got to go. So I went on that mission trip. We went and built a house, 18 of us. I went to my mission team thinking they would say no. I always like think, okay, ask big, and then they could say yes to a little bit of your ask. So I went and said to them, I've been in touch with some pastors that we taught like 12 years ago, and one of them to join our mission team. And he's in Kenya, and could he come? Sure. So the mission team plus Pastor Dalmas out of Mombasa came over, and we built a house. And it was an amazing experience, like most mission trips are. Mm-hmm. And you kind of get away from what's going on here. But towards the end of the trip, the ministry, Watoto Ministry, had a plan that they always do with teams. they bring us to this really fancy restaurant. And this is where God got a hold of me, you know, just broke me down. We're sitting in a French restaurant. I don't go to French restaurants here, you know. And then you're in Kampala, where around the corner, someone's on the street starving. It was just this really, I don't know, hard thing
right,
to process.
Dichotomy of...
Exactly.
Of...
We're sitting there, and as we began to pray, I closed my eyes like I would anytime you pray, and all of a sudden, all I could see behind my closed eyes is this black and white scene. It's a wide street in some city in Africa, I don't know where, and it goes on as far as the eye can see with huge piles of trash all the way down the sides of the street. And I'm like walking in this scene to the trash and find that it's all moving and there's children sleeping under it as far as I can see.
Oh, wow.
And to this day, I can remember the scene. It brought this feeling inside of me. I've never had a vision. I don't know if this is a vision. I don't know what this was. I just was like, what is this? And I had this sudden feeling like someone died inside of me. If you can think of how you feel in times of grief, then that's sort of how I felt and found myself weeping from it. Suddenly the prayer is over and I'm like just awash in tears with my team. And people around me are like, are you okay? No. Are you feeling God's presence? I said, I don't know. I need to go out to the bus. And I just left them and went out to talk to God.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Here's a word from Bram.
You know, every Compassion Radio broadcast is a unique opportunity for us, for you, and for the kingdom of God around the world. For us, because we get to make the case that God is doing some amazing things right now in the places and in ways you might never have suspected. For you, because you get the opportunity to enter into these stories through your prayers and financial support. And it's an opportunity for the kingdom of God, because they get to speak directly to you. Thank you, friends, for making it all possible. As God enables you, I humbly ask that you would continue your partnership with us as the Lord Himself leads you to. We can't be the voice for global mission without you.
If you'd like to partner with Compassion Radio, you can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com. If you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot.
We're always on mission. This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Come on and sing out loud, anthem goes. rejoice the humble poor beneath. Glory to God and praise and love be ever, ever given by saints below and saints above, the church and earth and hell. So come on and sing out loud, I am from God, there is one great love, there is one great love, Jesus, Jesus. Never grow old. There are so few words that never grow old. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So come on and sing out loud, I am from God.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
I closed my eyes like I would anytime you pray, and all of a sudden, all I could see behind my closed eyes is this black and white scene. It's a wide street in some city in Africa, I don't know where, and it goes on as far as the eye can see with huge piles of trash all the way down the sides of the street. And I'm like walking in this scene to the trash and find that it's all moving and there's children sleeping under it as far as I can see.
Oh, wow.
And to this day, I can remember the scene. It brought this feeling inside of me. I've never had a vision. I don't know if this is a vision. I don't know what this was. I just was like, what is this? And I had this sudden feeling like someone died inside of me. If you can think of how you feel in times of grief, then that's sort of how I felt and found myself weeping from it. Suddenly the prayer is over and I'm like just awash in tears with my team. And people around me are like, are you okay? No. Are you feeling God's presence? I said, I don't know. I need to go out to the bus. And I just left them and went out to talk to God. And I get in the bus and just say, is this you? I don't know what this is. And I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that. But I'm here to talk to you and close my eyes to pray. And there it is again. And the weeping came again. And I'm like, okay, open my eyes. It's gone. What is that?
Not sure. Want to close my eyes again.
No. And from that point on, for the next 8 weeks, I continued to cry uncontrollably. Like every time I would try to pray or close my eyes to sleep, I saw that same scene. I literally could not close my eyes without it being there. And felt God saying to me, you're going to take what you're seeing here and do that with the people I've shown you in Kenya and Tanzania. And
he's,
I'm like,
drawing,
no, God, I'm not. Like, I'm a mom with a minivan, $100 in my pocket, and I've got kids to take to school. And I lead children's ministry for you. Did you forget? Like, at my church.
Look what I'm doing for you, God.
Exactly. And you want me to do what? We're here with a multi-million dollar ministry in Uganda. And you want me to go start something in not one, but two countries and do what they're doing here. This is incredible. They have 100 acres in multiple places and they've built a whole childcare village. And he was like, yeah, this is what I have for you. I fought him as hard as I could. I'm a little bit stubborn in my personality. And I just thought, it's wrong. You've got the wrong person. This is not a thing of pride. This is honestly, like, I don't even know what this is. And I'm embarrassed to tell anybody. But I came home and my whole team now, they'd seen me go from someone who never cries, I'm just not emotional, to crying nonstop from that dinner on, all the way home on the plane. It would just come, just grief. And during the next 8 weeks, I lost 16 pounds and food didn't taste good. I would get to the grocery store, fill up my basket, start crying and walk out because of the excess we have. I could not function. Like mm-hmm. I would just go home and say, someone else needs to buy groceries because I can't again. And my kids, one was first year in college and one was 17. And then I had a 7-year-old. And so my 17-year-old boy was like, Mom, can you just go back to Africa and figure out what this is? He's pointing my tears. And I'm like wiping them away, trying to pretend like I'm fine. And my daughter breezed through the kitchen that morning. And she had not been attending church since she was 18. We always made our kids go till they're 18 and then you choose. And that's what she chose at the time. And so she's in college, was getting her lunch, ready to head off to college. And I said to my son, I can't go back to Africa and figure this out because God is asking me to do something that I can't do. And I feel far from him because I haven't said yes. And I feel far from all of you because everyone wants to know what's wrong with me and I can't stop whatever it is that's wrong with mm-hmm. me. And so Lindsay heard me say that and she goes, if God's asking you to do it, you should just go ahead and say yes because he's not going to stop until you say yes. And then she walks out the door. And I was like, seriously, God? You're going to speak to me through her. Okay, great. And I started really thinking, I'm not going to get over this. Mm-hmm. And I finally, I can't say there was some mountaintop moment. And I was in a worship service and I felt so led to say yes. No, it was out of desperation yeah. of feeling I'm not sleeping. I can't function for my family. I'm losing weight. I can't eat. I feel like someone died and I can't close my eyes without seeing this scene. And God wants me to do something. And surely he'll equip me. I don't know how, but why do I have to know how? So finally, one day I just said in prayer, okay, fine, I'm going to do it. Wasn't super happy about this. Right. Okay, fine, God. No.
It's a Jonah moment.
It was. I tell you, I can identify with Jonah so easily now. But I said, okay, I don't know what you want me to do, but we're going to do this. You're going to have to show me. And I just felt like, okay, that's done. And I didn't feel any major thing. But the next morning when I woke up, I kind of had this little fear and I was praying and I said, what did I just promise you? Oh my gosh. And I kind of took a deep breath and felt this warmth on my shoulders and this strong like thought came to me. You made this so difficult when all I want is your obedience. Mm. That's all I wanted from the beginning. I'm going to bring the rest. All you had to do was say yes. In that moment is when it was like a light switch. The tears stopped. The grief literally just left. And I could close my eyes and see nothing like you do if you close your eyes right now. I'm like, oh my gosh. It's like God just turned that switch off. And yet I could still remember. I've often thought of painting. I paint for fun, mm-hmm. like a hobbyist. But I thought of painting the scene, but it just feels like such a holy scene that I haven't done that.
You probably couldn't capture it. So I wanted to say, I'm going to stop right here and just make this comment because I'm thinking that there are a lot of people out there in the world that may be listening to this in this country mm-hmm. that really get what you're saying. This resonates with you. I want to speak to our listeners. This may resonate with you, what Deborah's saying, that God has placed a dream in your heart, in your mind. He's given you a vision, if you want to call it that. He's placed a picture of a place that you may not even know where that place is right now. A burden in your heart. Mm-hmm. That God is saying, just be obedient. And your step of obedience may not mean you are starting a ministry in Africa. It may mean something as small as taking food to your neighbor. Mm-hmm. But God will pursue us relentlessly when he has a work for us to do that he knows is going to bring us into closer relationship with him.
And to bring others, yeah.
And to bring others into relationship right. with him. It's going to bring him glory, and you're going to have peace that you've yeah. never experienced. Right. And I think that's what you're talking about when you said grief was lifted, mm-hmm. and God just said, okay, I just wanted you to be obedient. Just step mm-hmm. in and say, yes, God.
Right.
Regardless right. of what the 10-year plan looks like.
Right.
Or even the 1-year plan. Just that's be right. obedient in this moment. And he's going to order your steps.
Right.
I think that's something that we can really get and learn from what you're saying right now. God's going to order our steps. He's going to bring the increase or he's going to bring the provision, but we just have to walk in obedience
right.
and trust him
That's
to do
true.
That.
That's true. And the hard thing is, you know, we'll say, well, we're people of faith. We believe God can do it until it comes down to that moment where you're like, okay, God, are you going to do it? Like, and then you have to just say, yes, I do believe, and I'm going to wait, I'm going to watch, and I'm going to praise you for what you do. Mm-hmm. I think the hard thing for me was after my family knew, because they know me so well, I used to even complain, I'm embarrassed, I have trouble crying at a funeral, guys, I'm so unemotional, but I do care about people, and
right.
I just don't cry. And then suddenly I'm crying like nonstop for 8 weeks. My kids, everybody around me were like, okay, something's wrong with mom. And then for it to just switch off and me say, okay, I told God yes. And they're like, to what? I said, I'm not exactly sure, except it involves rescuing children, helping orphans, and working with the people that I met when I was a professor in Africa, whatever. It's just, I don't really know yet. But it's one thing with your family, but then you need to talk to people.
Right.
And it's like, okay, what do I do? So I reached out to some of the women who'd been on the trip with me, and one or two who weren't on the trip, but I knew their hearts break for orphans. And they agreed to come and pray with me around my kitchen table once a week. We met that group of women. They were amazing because they just really cried out, God, what do you want us to do? Mm-hmm. And it took me meeting with them 4 weeks before I would say, so I had an experience for 8 weeks after the trip. How do I tell people what happened? Because I don't know exactly the next step. And God hasn't shown me. Then God began to reveal through them and through the organization we'd gone with in Uganda. I reached out to them. They said, we have a conference in September. If you want to come back, what we're going to do is explain how we rescue orphans and how we build childcare villages. And we're inviting pastors from all over Africa to come. We want our model to be replicated. And if that's something God's laid on your heart, you come. We did that in September. The calling happened between February and April until I said yes. And then September, I'm back in Uganda. Never thought I would go there again in my life. We studied and learned about that. Came home and I went through this time for about a year of trying to fulfill the call in another way. I don't know if you've ever been called to do something and said, okay, God, that sounds good, but I'm going to do it my way.
Here's my plans for what you've called me to do, God.
Exactly. Okay. During those 8 weeks, I had been searching online for books about orphans because that's all I wanted to talk about. I didn't mention that during those 8 weeks, I wrote two songs and I took up painting. I had never done art in my life and all I wanted to paint was things to do with Africa. And if my art teacher ever hears this radio, she'll be like, oh yeah. All she did was paint stuff. I would say, can you do your family instead of Africa?
We'll hear more of this conversation next time on Compassion Radio. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478, or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION, COMPASSION, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.